more conscious and connect with your divine soul to empower you to move from your heads to your heart. Join Lori Houston with co-host Nancy Aruda, in-house astrologer, every first and third Wednesday of the month. Plus, Jennifer Kautz, our dream analysis, also joins the team. Plus, Lori can be heard on Sky Radio every Monday with Jean Adrienne on Voices of Soul, Wednesday and Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern each day. If you have any questions on your relationships, limiting beliefs, energy that's blocking you, and or awakening your true power as you journey from your head to your heart, call Lori Houston now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
And good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul. I'm very excited today because I have Dr. Joe Dispenza here. I'm sure most of you remember him from What the Bleep Do You Know? I love that movie. I love that movie more than probably anything that's come out since. Part of it that we'll discuss today is, you know, why the secret doesn't work, which I'm so excited that Dr. Joe has come up with this great new book. It's called Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, How to Lose Your Mind and Create a New One. Prior to this, he wrote a book called Evolve Your Brain, The Science of Changing Your Mind. And I know that you've sort of overlapped some information. And the reason we're going to start sort of halfway through the book, and I'm really excited because I'm going to have another interview with Dr. Joe, because I want to also talk about the most important part. But before we can get to the important part, which is the meditation, we really need to go over some of the concepts. So I'm very excited to have you, Dr. Joe Dispenza. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Lori. I'm pleased to be with you.
And so I'm going to start with Chapter 7, which is called The Gap. And the reason we're starting there is because I believe that is why you wrote this book, because you already wrote a book about evolving your brain and changing your mind. But this key piece, I think, is what I've been sort of talking about for months now. One, being authentic, and two, you know, recognizing that piece where, you know, we're that gap between who we are, who we really are, and who we're projecting to the world. So can we start with why you sort of wrote this book and with this preface of the chapter of The Gap?
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. I think that this is a time in history where people, you know, want to know, but more than wanting to know, they want to know how. And if you really get down to the heart of what a person is really after, I think they're really after a certain level of joy and happiness that really comes from within them, independent of the circumstances or their conditions in their life. And that kind of change has to take place not by accumulating more things or meeting new people or going to different places. That really distracts us from the true changes that we need to make within us. And I think we reach a certain point in our life, usually in our late 30s and 40s, where we can pretty much predict the feeling of anything that's going to happen in our life. We've experienced relationships. We've experienced our sexual identity. We experience guilt and shame and unworthiness and sadness and depression. And we've experienced success and failure and being empowered. And for the most part, we've pretty much gained a lot of information from our external world. And when we reach this point where we stop learning and we start feeling, and feelings become the measurement of reality, feelings and emotions are the record of past experiences. We can remember experiences better because we can remember how they feel. So if we're really trying to project predict a new experience, it can't really happen, because if we can't predict how a new experience is going to feel, for the most part, people will deny themselves an new opportunity. So it limits the unknown. So when we're children, you know, for the most part, we've all been branded emotionally by certain events in our life. And, you know, children up until the age of 6 or 7 years old, all of their attention is on their internal world, their internal chemistry, how they feel inside of them. And when we're altered from events that happen to us that we don't understand, we have certain emotions that really don't go away so easily. But as we grow, you know, the natural tendency is to become absorbed in our external world. And we begin to create an identity by the people we know, the places we've lived, the things we do, the experiences we have, and we begin to create what we call a personality. And when we create this personality, all of our attention is on the outer world, and so we create this gap between how we appear to the world, how we present ourselves to the world, and really how we feel inside of us. And the distance between that gap is equal to the emotions that we've memorized, that we've become addicted to. So it works really well because you can go to college or you can go to high school and you can go to summer camp and you can move to different places and you can make new friends and, you know, you can create this image or this facade, and everybody's doing the same thing. They're identifying or creating an identity and identifying with their external world. Well, by the time we're 40 years old, all of a sudden, you know, that feeling that we had as children isn't going away so easily. In other words, if you were to take one hand and place it at your level of your eyes and the other hand at your belly button and put those hands horizontal to the floor, the upper hand would be how you appear to the world and the bottom hand would be how you feel inside of you. And so all of a sudden, right around the age of 40 or 30 or 35 or 45, nothing's making that feeling go away in this bottom hand. And this is the midlife crisis. This is where people either look down at that feeling and start telling the truth. They start saying, I don't love you. Why am I here? Where am I going? What happens after I die? What am I doing all of this for? Why am I trying to keep this image going to the world? And they begin to have that midlife crisis where they're no longer going to try to continue to spin plates and keep it all going. Other people, they have the midlife crisis, and instead of looking down at that feeling, that would be too dangerous because they would break their emotional contracts and bonds with everybody in their life, who's doing the same thing, by the way. They start to, you know, accumulate new things. They buy the sports car, they buy the boat. You know, that's a thing that they can relate to identify with, that they think they're reinventing themselves, but it's happening outside of them. They go join a new social club and they meet new people, and these people, they find out are, after a period of time, are more unhappy than they are and have more problems than them. They go on vacation to a new place, you know, and when the novelty of all those things, the people and the places and the things all wear off, that feeling returns. And this is a critical point in our life because we either have to look down at that feeling or the next step, of course, is to start becoming addicted to things. This is where people overeat or undereat or gamble or video game or shop too much or use drugs or alcohol. They're trying to make that feeling go away immediately. And when they can notice a change in their internal chemistry, they do something that makes that feeling go away. As soon as they notice that change in their internal state, they pay attention to whatever it was outside of them that caused it. And that event in and of itself is called a memory, and they begin to associate or become dependent on the drug or the shopping or the gambling or the pornography. The problem is that the receptor sites on the outside of the cells, when they get this rush of pleasure, they become desensitized, which means the next time they use a drug or shop, they're going to have to use a little more. If they spent $5,000 in shopping, now they spend $10,000. Or if they used a certain amount of drugs or alcohol, they got to use a little bit more to make that feeling go away. And this becomes the tragedy because it's everybody's innate desire to want to change. But we really have been conditioned and hypnotized into believing that it happens outside of us. True change is when we begin to look down at those emotions that we've memorized layer by layer and begin to unmemorize them and close the gap between how we appear and who we really are. And as we begin to close that gap, ultimately we create transparency because as we unmemorize each emotion, we're freeing the body from the chains of the past. And we can't actually create a new future holding on to the emotions of the past. And as people begin to make these true transformations, that intelligence that's giving us life, that's keeping our heart beating and digesting our food, that intelligence begins to leak out of us and it begins to consume us. And that's when we're happy because it's happening from within us. And that's the beginning stages of what I think unconditional love or unconditional joy is about. When we begin to, when how we appear is who we are, then we've freed up enough energy to actually be in the flow and create a more desirable life.
Right. Can I just have you talk a little bit about your example? Because it really kind of anchors it in understanding that these outside factors that you were having, you know, a great experience outside of you where you were very busy and the movie was very successful. You have your book, you were out doing your talk, but that piece about, the inside, that was that piece that I think a lot of us miss because we're so conditioned to look outside for our happiness.
Sure. I mean, when I, after What the Bleep, I was so busy traveling and so busy doing so many lectures at two cities in every weekend, I started to feel like on some level something was bothering me. Because when I was traveling, it was really great and really fun, but when I was living my normal life, I felt this emptiness or this sense of, disconnect. There was a disconnect. And so I had to look at that feeling and begin to see who I really was. Was I this image that everybody, that I appeared to be as to the world, and I had to show up that way? Or was it this feeling when I wasn't in my environment that was reminding me of my identity? Was that who I really was? And I began to realize that if I took away all the people and all the places and all the experiences, and it, like if you die and your life rolls up and disappears, you're left with that bottom hand. You're left with how you really feel. And that's when I just couldn't stop paying attention to it. And I really made a decision that I was going to pay attention to it. And, of course, made some dramatic changes because I wanted to be in the world and present myself as somebody who was comfortable with himself in both realms. And closing that gap really means your inner world of who you are inside of you and your outer world actually lines up.
Yeah. I think, honestly, I think that's the key to all of this because we really do get caught up. And then the movie like The Secret comes out where it's all greed-based and it's all externally-based and it's very little on, it's all about changing your thoughts. And if you have the Pollyanna thoughts that a life is wonderful, then, everything will change. And I think what we're starting to realize is that isn't how we change. And that's what I love about your book. We're going to go to our first break. When we come back, we're going to dive into some of these concepts a little bit more. And you're listening to Dr. Joe Dispenza, and you can find him on the web at drjoedispenza.com. There's a great YouTube video where he discusses the three brains, which is thinking, doing, being. It's a TED interview, and it's incredible. So take a look, take some time, find out about Dr. Joe. If you haven't seen What the Bleep, you need to see it. All right, we'll be right back with Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston on CBS.
Enlighten, empower, enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries.
Strong enough to be my man, my man. Nothing's true and nothing's right, so let me be alone tonight.
Is now CBS Radio's The Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL. 248-545-7685. NewSkyRadio.com.
This is Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston. Now we have Dr. Joe Dispenza. We are talking about his new book, which is Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, How to Lose Your Mind and Create a New One. Before the break, we were talking about the gap, which I think is, to me, one of the crucial points of the book. We will be having him back again, probably in October, for another interview talking all about the meditation aspect, but I think it's really important to sort of talk about some of the key concepts so that when we get to the meditation part, you'll be all ready. Let's begin now at the beginning, where you talk about change is a choice, but usually we're in reaction mode. And I think this is, you know, we're always waiting for some sort of crisis or trauma to sort of push us forward. But I love the fact that you talk about change as a choice.
Well, you know, I think that's the human condition. I think all of us wait for trauma or crisis or loss or disease or diagnosis where we reach a certain point that something that shocks us and we begin to realize that we can't go on business as usual, that most people have to reach their lowest denominator to really think about becoming somebody else, to really make some different choices. And my message is, why wait? You know, we can learn and change in a state of pain and suffering, or we can learn and change in a state of joy and inspiration. Now, if you understand that change really requires being greater than the conditions in your life, the circumstances in your world, being greater than your body, which has been conditioned to become the mind, because a habit is when your body is the mind, that by the time we're 35 years old, we're a set of memorized behaviors and emotional reactions, beliefs and perceptions that are really happening subconsciously where the body runs on automatic pilot. And then really to transcend time, it really means to no longer live in a predictable reality. When you begin to understand that and begin to demystify it, you'll begin to realize that for the most part, everybody's already done this, that we already know how to do this. Most of us, at certain points in our life, have become so uncomfortable that we made a decision with such firm intention that the choice of the decision was made with an energy, an amplitude of energy, that literally began to rewrite those programs. In other words, the choice was an experience, and that experience produced an emotional quotient that began to cause us to remember the choice, and the choice was final. So if you accept that your thoughts have something to do with your destiny, then neuroscience says that your brain is organized to reflect everything you know in your life. Your brain is a record of your past. It's a reflection of your environment. It's organized neurologically and shaped and molded to be equal to everything that you know. So if you wake up in the morning and you do the same things and you go to the same places and you see the same people that push the same emotional buttons and reproduce the same experiences as you did the day before that create the same emotions, well, then it's the external environment that's turning on different circuits in your brain, causing you to react unconsciously equal to everything that you know. And as long as the environment is regulating how you think and feel, then you're thinking equal to everything you know. And as a result of that, you keep creating more of the same life. To change, to truly change, is to think greater than your environment, to think greater than the circumstances in your world, to think greater than the conditions in your life. And for the most part, every great person in history knew how to do this, whether it was William Wallace or Mahatma Gandhi or Joan of Arc or Madame Curie or the Wright brothers or Martin Luther King. They all had a vision that was bigger than them. You couldn't see it, couldn't smell it, couldn't taste it. You know, you couldn't feel it. But to them, it was alive in their mind. So alive in their mind that they began to live as if that future reality was already happening in the present moment. So it begs the question, can you believe in a future that you can't see or experience with your senses yet, but you've thought about enough times in your mind that your brain is literally changed to look like the event has happened? Well, neuroscience says it's absolutely possible. And can you emotionally embrace a future reality that exists as a potential in the quantum field? And there are infinite potentials in the quantum field. And can you fall in love with that future reality ahead of the actual experience, so much so that your body as the unconscious mind begins to embrace that future reality in the present moment and signal new genes in new ways so that your body begins to change to look like the event has happened? Now, if your brain and body are physically changed to look like the event has happened, well, according to the quantum model of reality, the event has already happened. And this is when your brain and body are no longer a record of the past now. They're now, in fact, a map to the future. And to live by this law is to live by the quantum law. And the quantum law says that your environment is an extension of your mind. So if you truly change your mind, and there's physical evidence that you have, then there should be evidence in your life. And that evidence should come in a way that you least expect, that surprises you, that leaves no doubt that what you did inside of you produced some result outside of you. And I'm happy to say that people who begin to understand how to do this begin to create some pretty phenomenal things in their life, because they understand now that to change then is to be greater than their present sensory feedback in their life, that they're already embracing a future neurologically and chemically, you know, in mind and body, and they've already experienced the event in the quantum world already, so now the event will find them.
Right. And part of that is the meditation part, which, again, we'll talk about in another show, but part of it is, you know, that it should come as a surprise. Like, we really shouldn't necessarily try to control the outcome, which most of us are trying to do all the time. We're always trying to create something, and when we try to create it, as you say, we have these expectations, and a lot of times it's from a place of abandonment or it's from a place of unworthiness. And so that's how those experiences come, but we're trying to create something outside of us that will bring us that inner happiness, but it's not a surprise to us. We're not only trying to predict it, we're trying to control it.
Yeah, that's a very interesting concept, Lori, because it's really simple. If you can expect it or you can predict it, by pure reason, it means it's nothing new. You already know. So the field wants to surprise us. It wants to tickle us. It wants to empower us. And it wants to show us that we can trust in an outcome. So if we're trying to control the outcome, you know, your personality creates your personal reality. It's that simple. And your personality is made up of how you think, how you act, and how you feel. So the present personality who's listening on this call, this radio show, has created their present personal reality called their life, which means if you want to create a new personal reality, then on a fundamental level, you're going to have to change your thoughts, your behaviors, and the emotions that you live by. And most people try to create a new personal reality as the same personality, and it doesn't work. So if we're then trying to force the outcome, we've just returned back to the old self. The new self would never do that. The new self would be too busy being it and would never try to predict how it's going to happen. The moment you try to predict it, you return back to the old self. The new self trusts in the outcome because it already experienced it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where the leap of faith and, you know, the surrender comes in, which it's a big thing for a lot of people. A lot of people are afraid of it because, you know, surrender, it's, you know, it all has to do with definitions and wording in a lot of times, because, you know, we think surrender means, you know, that means we have no control, which technically we have no control anyway, but it's that, you know, it's that piece of, you know, we're waving the white flag and giving up all our power to something else. And that's where, you know, our fears come in, and that's where we're terrified of making that step.
Well, there's two points about that. Let's talk about that, because number one, the best way to predict the future is to create it. So if we've already created it in our inward journey, and we've already done it, then, and we've connected to something greater, then surrender means that we trust in the outcome, and we've been hypnotized and conditioned into believing that we need a reason for joy, we need a reason for gratitude, we need a reason for appreciation. That's cause and effect, something outside of you. You wait for your wealth, you wait for your new relationship, you wait for your riches or abundance, and then you'll give thanks. That's the Newtonian model of reality, of cause and effect. The quantum model of reality says you have to give thanks ahead of the actual experience, so much so that you convince your body emotionally that the event has already happened, because gratitude means the event has already happened, or it's happening to you in the present moment. And your body, as the unconscious mind, does not know the difference between an actual experience that produces an emotion and an emotion that you fabricate by thought alone. So if you slide into that state of being properly, then you've already experienced it. And it's not like you have to try to surrender. It's like you've already experienced it, and you're in an elevated emotion, and you're no longer living in unworthiness or fear or insecurity. You are already in a state of being. Now, if you can get up and maintain that modified state of mind and body the entire day, get ready, because something different is going to happen in your world. Now it's no longer cause and effect. Now you're causing an effect. And you only need a few of those experiences to begin to recognize what you did inside of you produced some result outside of you. And when you notice what you did inside of you that produced that feedback as an event outside of you, you'll pay attention to what you did, and you'll do it again, and that's called empowerment.
Right. Perfect. I love it. I love it. All right, so now we break down the three main steps, which is overcoming environment, overcoming body, and overcoming time. So let's talk about the environment, because that's that outer world thing that we sort of see all the time.
Yeah, you know, we've been talking about it in a very indirect way, or somewhat direct way, and that is that your environment reaffirms the way you think and feel. And the way you think and feel is a state of being. And your state of being is a personality. So everybody, they get up, and 95% of their behaviors in their waking day are unconscious behaviors. They get up out of the bed, they shut the alarm clock off with the same finger, they slip into their favorite slippers, they wash themselves off in the shower the same way, they look in the mirror to remind themselves who they are, they drink coffee out of the same mug, they drive to work the same way, and as they keep doing the same things and thinking the same thoughts, look, 60,000 thoughts a day a human being has, between 75 and 90% of those thoughts are the same thoughts as the day before. Same thoughts create the same choices. Same choices create the same behaviors. Same behaviors create the same experiences. Same experiences create the same emotions. Those emotions drive the same thoughts, and now the personality is a finite set of programs.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to go to our next break. When we come back, we'll talk more about this, and we'll go into the next two. You're listening to Intuitive Soul with Dr. Joe Dispenza. He can be found on the internet at drjoedispenza.com. Again, he's written an amazing book called Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, How to Lose Your Mind and Create a New One. You're listening to Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
New Sky Radio. NewSkyRadio.com and Psychic Radio, PsychicOnAir.com, powered by CBS Radio, AOL, and Yahoo, is unlike any talk radio station, with a mission to improve the world one listener at a time. This is where you can be the star of your own show. Our listeners are truly unique, truly interactive, and passionate about their world. The Sky and Psychic Radio listeners genuinely care about the environment, social justice, their personal health, and raising people up to live their best life every day. Our motto is New Horizons, No Boundaries. New Age views, life coaching, psychic analysis, alternative medicine, and cutting-edge mind, body, and spirit shows can all be found on The Sky and Psychic Radio. Perhaps you have what it takes to join our broadcast family, an open mind, a great idea, and a passion for enriching lives. Check out all the exciting details by clicking the microphone on our homepage at newskyradio.com or give Lisa Rodman a call at 248-546-9600 to learn just how affordable it can be to host a show.
Just relax, take it easy. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to know. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy. I was once like you are now, and I know that it's not easy to be calm when you found something going on. But take your time, think a lot. Why, think of everything you've got, for you will still be here tomorrow, but your dreams may not. To explain, when I do, he turns away again. It's always been the same, same old story. From the moment I could talk, I was ordered to listen. Now there's a way, and I know that I have to go away. I know I have to go. It's not time to make a change. Just sit down, take it slowly. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to go through. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy. All the times that I've cried, keeping all the things I knew inside. It's hard, but it's harder to ignore it. If they were right, I'd agree, but it's them they know. Now there's a way, and I know that I have to go away. I know I have to go.
Psychic Radio is now CBS Radio's The Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL. 248-545-7685. NewSkyRadio.com.
And welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston. We have Dr. Joe Dispenza here. We're talking about his great book, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, How to Lose Your Mind and Create a New One. I can't say enough about this book. We're going to have him back again to talk about the meditation aspect, because that's really where we make these transformational changes, but we need to understand the concepts. So we're going to come back now to overcoming the body, because I think that's the place where we get, you know, all of the things, our addictions, the genes aspect, everything is in there. So let's talk about overcoming the body.
Sure. I think it's really simple to say that every time we have a thought, we make a chemical. And if you have a great thought, you're going to turn on a set of circuits in your brain that produces a level of mind that's going to signal another part of your brain that makes a chemical for you to feel exactly the way you were thinking. You're going to feel great. The moment you feel great, you're going to think more great thoughts. So the moment you feel the way you think, you're going to think the way you feel, which is going to cause you to then feel the way you think and think the way you feel, and that cycle goes on. That creates a state of being. If you have an insecure thought, your brain is going to fire a set of circuits in a very specific sequence, pattern, and combination that produces a level of mind, and another part of the brain is going to create a batch of chemicals for you to begin to feel exactly the way you were just thinking, insecure. Now, the moment you begin to feel insecure, you're going to think more insecure thoughts, which are going to cause you to feel more insecure. And some people go through this cycle of thinking and feeling and thinking for years on end. And the redundancy of that cycle of thinking a certain thought that produces a certain chemical for you to feel a certain way, and the moment you feel that way, you think equal to that feeling, that redundancy creates a state of being. So the person will say, I am insecure. And whenever you say, I am anything, what you're saying is, my mind and body are aligned to a destiny. My thoughts and feelings are working as one. Now, if we keep doing that over time, we condition the body to memorize insecurity as well as the conscious mind. Now, once the body knows as well as the mind, that's called a habit. A habit is when the body is the mind. So we said 95% of who we are by the time we're 35 years old is a set of memorized behaviors or emotional reactions that are actually conditioned into the body. The body has memorized it better than the conscious brain. So here's an example. You may not be able to consciously remember a phone number. Well, you'd have to be over 35 for this, but let's just say you couldn't consciously remember a phone number, but you walked over to the receiver, and you picked up the receiver. You looked at the keypad, and then your fingers dialed the number. You couldn't consciously remember it, but you practiced it so many times that your body knew better than your conscious brain. Now, 95% of who we are is a set of behaviors that run subconsciously like an automatic program. Now, that means 5% of the conscious mind is working against 95% of what we've memorized subconsciously. And this is the trick then. So then to change then is to be greater than the body, to be greater than those memorized emotions, beliefs, behaviors in which the body has become the mind. Now, how do we get this way? Well, we have experiences in our life, and those experiences produce emotions. And if we don't know that we can control our emotional reactions to certain things, and we allow those emotions to run for hours or days, the same emotional reaction, we keep it going for hours or days, that's called a mood. A mood is one long emotional reaction. You say to someone, why are you in a mood? And they say, well, this thing happened to me 5 days ago, which really translates into I'm memorizing my emotional reaction. Now, if you keep that emotional reaction extended past days, that lingers to weeks or months, that's called a temperament. You say, why does that person have an angry temperament? I don't know, why are you so angry? Well, this event happened to me 11 months ago, and I'm living by the same emotional reaction. In other words, they're living in their past. Mm-hmm. Those emotions are a record of the past. Now, if you keep that same emotional reaction running for years on end, that's called a personality trait, which means then if we want to change our personality, we have to look at the emotions that we've memorized that's become part of our identity. Now, those emotions will drive our thoughts, and those thoughts will be equal to our emotions. And for the most part, then, if you believe that your thoughts have something to do with your destiny, then if emotions are the record of the past, then you are literally thinking in the past. And as long as you're thinking in the past, you will create more of the same experiences in your life. So think about this. Your body's the unconscious mind. It doesn't know the difference between an experience that produces an emotion and an emotion that you fabricate just by memory alone. If the body is in the same cycle, the same chemical continuity of thinking and feeling, then the body believes it's in the same environmental experience 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. In fact, the body's being conditioned to live in the past. And you can't create a new future holding on to the emotions of the past. And so when we say to change them is to be greater than the body, it literally means to free the body from the chains of those emotions that keep us connected to the past.
Right. Now, you also talk about, you know, people, you know, restricting ourselves because of our genes, saying, you know, well, I can't change it because that's, you know, that's my genes, where you say that our genes are as changeable as our brains.
Without a doubt, there is no doubt in my mind, based on the latest scientific research, that one specific gene has between 2,000 and 30,000 different variations on the same gene. Well, if you are thinking and feeling in the same way, remember, the experience in your environment produces a chemical reaction. We call that emotions in human beings. But all organisms are embracing their environment, and the end product of that is a chemical change. So emotions, then, for human beings, that's information from the environment. Well, if you're thinking and feeling in the same cycle, you're signaling the same gene in the same way, and now you're headed for your genetic destiny. Change the way you think and feel, and literally you signal new genes. There's been experiments to show that people who are type 2 diabetics, who are insulin dependent, if they watch a comedy show for 1 hour and they laugh, they signal 23 genes in new ways that begin to regulate their blood sugar. They turn on new genes and they turn off old genes, and they literally change their internal state. So we're not doomed by our genes, but if we're reacting to the same environmental conditions in the same way, the same emotion signals the same gene, and now we're headed for our genetic destiny.
Right. That's great. Okay, let's talk about overcoming time, because that seems to be something that we also get caught up in big time.
Yeah, this is also something that I realized along the way that, you know, for the most part, a mobile function that we have is called awareness. We can literally think about some future experience we're about to have, or something that we're anticipating or predicting to take place. And we can become so focused on that possibility that, to the exclusion of everything else, we can turn on the chemicals in our body in preparation for the event ahead of the actual event. In other words, you start thinking about doing this public speech, and you have a fear of public speaking. You naturally will pick the worst-case scenario in your mind, and you'll focus on that to the exclusion of everything else, and your body as the unconscious mind will physiologically change, and it will begin to believe that it's living in that future reality in the present moment. In other words, the body and the brain are in the future. And by the same means, you can unfold the past bitter memory that's tattooed in the recesses of your gray matter. And like magic, it comes to life, and in that moment, it's real to us. And again, the body as the unconscious mind begins to produce the same chemistry in the brain and body as if the event was happening. And now the body's literally, and the brain is literally living in the past. And so, because we have this mobile function called awareness, then most people spend the majority of their life trying to predict the future based on their past. And by very definition of what we've been talking about, their future literally is their past. Because if you're getting up and doing the same things every day and, you know, responding to the same conditions in your life, then your body has been trained just like an animal. It's been trained to do the same things as it did the day before, and it's on an automatic program. So there's no room for the unknown. There's no room for the miraculous. There's no room for opportunity in our life, because we're already living a line of time that's already been created by the day before. So finding the present moment, finding that place, that sweet spot in which the brain and body can surrender into the present moment, is really the key of our meditation, and we'll talk about it in the next time we have an opportunity. But we have all the biological and neurological machinery that we need to slip into the present moment. And when we're in the present moment, that space we can only talk around is really rich with possibility. It's really where all potentials exist in the quantum field. And when we slip into that present moment, we really have this unusual thing happen. We forget about ourselves, we forget about our environment, we forget about our body, and we literally lose track of time. We become pure consciousness. And that's the moment when we're pure consciousness that we have dominion over the body, we have dominion over the environment, something in our life we want to change, and we really are now living in a new line of time. I can happily say that in my observation of people doing the workshops that we do around the world, that, wow, people are creating some amazing things once they understand how to do it.
That's amazing. All right, we're listening to Dr. Joe Dispenza, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. We're on Intuitive Soul. We'll be back. And you're listening to Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Discover your spirit. Listen to Spirit Guide Radio, where leading spiritual experts serve as guides to nourish your soul. Every weeknight from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern, Heidi Hollis, The Outlander, The Zodiac Girls with Solaris, Laura and Kira, Ask Dr. Doug with Dr. Doug Lear, PSI 911 with Katie, Rhonda, and Christy, Life by Number with Celeste, and your Reiki Journey with Heidi Harrison. Spiritually Speaking Radio for the soul. CBS Radio's The Sky.
Believe. Wednesdays are wonderful on the sky. At 1 p.m. Eastern Time, New Sky Radio presents Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston. The purpose of Intuitive Soul is to clear a path to divine consciousness. There are three different modalities Lori Houston uses to attain this connection. Lori will guide and assist you to become aware and conscious of your thoughts and feelings. Raise and shift your level of consciousness. Afterlife, Real Life takes the air at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Practical metaphysics, readings, guests, spirit topics for modern life. Come and visit with Trish and Stephanie as they explore a practical and unique approach to developing your personal mechanism and communicating with spirits in today's modern world. Live from Mount Shasta, Washington, it's Mystic Radio featuring spiritual mother Robin Alexis and her husband Bob Bordenero. Callers from all over the world join in the conversation. Be sure to tune in at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Call in early. The lines are hot. 248-545-7685. Instant feedback at NewSkyRadio.com. New Sky Radio. NewSkyRadio.com. New horizons, no boundaries. Powered by CBS, Yahoo, and Radio.com.
Psychic Radio is now CBS Radio's The Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL. 248-545-7685. NewSkyRadio.com.
And welcome back. You're talking with Intuitive Soul, Lori Houston. We are with Dr. Joe Dispenza. We're talking about his new book, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, How to Lose Your Mind and Create a New One. This has been an exciting show. We will be having him back to talk about the meditation aspects so we can bring all of the stuff together to really create the change that we're wanting. I'm just so happy that you came to share with us today. Let's talk a little bit about survival and creation, because I think that's that piece that, you know, we're sort of in survival mode. We want to move into creation mode.
Yeah, we can simplify this really easy, Lori. I think living in survival is living in stress.
Yeah.
And stress is when your body and brain are knocked out of balance. Stress is when you're knocked out of homeostasis. The stress response is what your body normally does to return itself back to order. Now, we have three types of stresses. We have physical stresses like accidents, injuries, traumas, falls. We have chemical stresses like flus and bacteria and blood sugar levels and hangovers and heavy metals and pollutants and pesticides, toxins. We have emotional stresses, which is traffic jams, internet connections, 401ks, family tragedies, you know, second mortgages, single parenting. All of those things, physically, chemically, or emotionally, knock us out of balance. Now, all organisms in nature are designed for short-term stress. The gazelle gets chased by the lion. The gazelle outruns the lion. And 15 minutes later, it goes back to grazing. That's a short-term stress. It returns back to homeostasis. Human beings, not the case.
Right.
We turn on the stress response all day long. And when you turn on the stress response and you can't turn it off, now you're headed for some type of disease because that imbalance becomes the new balance. And that's what begins to signal the gene that creates disease, because it's a scientific fact that the chemicals of stress long-term dysregulate and downregulate the genes that create disease. So what we know about human beings is we can begin to think about our problems, we can think about our past conditions, we can begin to anticipate something happening. And as I said earlier, we can turn on the stress response just by thought alone. Now, this is the danger. Because people are constantly focusing on the on the worst case scenario. And when they get it right, they pat themselves on the shoulder and they say, you know, look at me, you need to hang out with me, see how smart I am. But what happens when it doesn't happen? And they keep doing it over and over again. That's called anxiety. That's called insomnia. That's called neurosis. That's called OCD. That's when the brain and body are so revved up to be out of balance that the person can no longer function. Now, the chemicals of stress are highly addictive. They begin to give the body a rush of energy. And so we become addicted to the problems and conditions in our life to reaffirm the addiction, to remember who we think we are as a somebody. And this is the tragedy, because if we can turn on the stress response just by thought alone, and we know the stress long-term makes us sick, it means then our thoughts can literally make us sick. So it begs the question, if our thoughts can make us sick, can our thoughts make us well? So when we're in the stress mode, which is for the most part where most people live, we're in emergency. We are putting all of our attention on the external world. And very naturally, what we're doing is we're focusing on our bodies, we're focusing on the environment, and we're focusing on time. In other words, if the gazelle is being chased by the lion, she's thinking, I better take care of this body. Where in my environment am I going to run, and how much time do I have to get there? When we're living in stress, we're functioning as materialists because we're using our senses to define reality. So we're focusing on the particle of the quantum model of reality instead of the wave of possibility. And so when you and I are under the gun of the chemicals of stress, we're pretty much obsessing about our bodies, we're obsessing about our problems and things in our environment, and we're over-focused on time. Now, if you throw in the addiction part of this now, we become addicted to the very things that we need to change, but in order to do that, we have to take our attention off them. In other words, when you're in a creative state, truly creating, my definition of creation is when you forget about yourself. You're so involved and so present in the moment that you become nobody, you become no thing, and you become no time. In other words, you become pure consciousness. So the irony is, in order for us to change something in our life, change something in our body, or to create a new line of time, we have to forget about the very things that we're addicted to in order to create something new. In other words, we have to become nobody. We have to go from being selfish, because the chemicals of stress cause us to focus on the self, to identify the self as a body in the environment and time, and that's not who we really are. We begin to believe that we're that. So we have to lay down the very thing we used our whole life to survive with, to get what we want, in order for something greater to take place. And that then becomes the art, because when we overcome ourselves in that way, all of a sudden now, we are focusing on possibility, and we're no longer trying to force the outcome or try to control the outcome, because we feel separate from possibility. We're materialists when we're separate from possibility. But when we're in the quantum model, when we are connected to something greater and we're trusting in the outcome, then, of course, we surrender the very thing that we've been holding on to, and to allow something greater to take place.
Yeah. And, you know, that's that piece where a lot of people talk about, you know, remembering that wonder that we had as children, where we didn't know what would happen, but we, you know, we believed in the magic. We believed in that, you know, that possibility, and that we had that incredible wonder about life.
Yeah, wonder is a great word to use, because you only need a few of these mystical experiences to happen to you, and you can never go back to living your life business as usual. But, you know, in order for that to happen, you have to lay down everything that you know and be open to possibility. And when you're in that present moment, you're no longer anticipating the worst-case scenario based on the past. And we can only talk around these concepts, but doing it, of course, and making it a skill is when things get pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm excited to have you back, where we're going to talk about meditation, and that is that piece that that you write about, and that, you know, it's that missing piece of taking us from this place of what we know, and what we expect and what we try to control to this place of wonder and possibility and to taking us into a just new realm. I mean, it's amazing. We've all probably experienced those mystical experiences, and then we get caught up in life and we forget, and we remember again and we go, why? You know, why am I not living this all the time? And I think that's part of life, but it's the sad part of it, because we really, you know, we have had some incredible experiences, and yet we let life take its toll again.
Yeah, and the hardest part of all of this, without a doubt, and I can tell you from experience, the hardest part is making the time to do it. That's it. Yeah. Taking time for our precious self. That's the key.
Yeah, and making ourselves, you know, so that it's not selfish, that it's actually, you know, the essential piece to our own growth and well-being.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say again, you know, I'm so pleased that you joined us. I'm going to be very excited to do the second show, All on Meditation. There is an excellent YouTube video out where Dr. Joe Dispenza has been talking about the three brains. This is a nice piece in the book that's really important as well. But it's on YouTube. He did a TED Talk. It's a great talk. It helps you understand the three brains of the thinking, doing, and being. And that's really that piece we also need to understand. We didn't have time to talk about it today. And we're going to devote the next show all on meditation. So have a chance to take a look at that. We've been talking with Dr. Joe Dispenza, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, How to Lose Your Mind and Create a New One. If you haven't seen What the Bleep Do You Know, please see the movie as well, because it kind of anchors a lot of these concepts, and he's also brought some new stuff in. So thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Lori. It was a pleasure.
And I look forward to having you back soon.
Wonderful. Thank
All
you.
All right. You're welcome. And so you've been listening to Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.